Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Salt City Sports Podcast. It's February 6th, 2018. I'm your host, Chase Carter, joined here by my brother in blood. What's up, man?
Let's get it. Big week, Chase. Got the big Super Bowl recap. I'm happy to be here. I'm going to go over some of my prop bets. NBA trade deadline coming up. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Football's over. It's officially dead. It's officially...
Don't say it like that. I need you to keep my spirits high because I'm struggling. It's like a dark age for me.
Yeah, it's rough. And
I can tell you care.
The NFL, I was going to say, they actually do a pretty good job now of keeping football relevant in the offseason. They'll really start ramping up the combine.
Man, all the leagues have done that. You know what I mean? Like everything is 365 now.
The 24-hour news cycle, 365, every sport. The NBA, I think, has done the best job at staying relevant. Like this last NBA offseason was absolutely bananas, right? Mm-hmm. But
banana boats.
Yeah, banana boats. Nice.
Thanks.
Not to get too far off topic. They're gonna keep us just giving us little breadcrumbs to get us to August. Mm-hmm. You know, the NFL and football in general. So National Signing Day is tomorrow for high school athletes. So there's little days here and there to give us our little
draft in April. So they'll string us along, and then before you know it, you're right. It'll be OTAs.
And yep. So and we'll be watching Hard Knocks and getting ready. So
love it.
Let's get into today's episode. We obviously have a massive Super Bowl review. Mm-hmm. Talk about what happened. Awesome game. A lot of fun. Congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles,
yep.
Super Bowl champs. We're going to go over that in depth. We're going to talk some hoopies because now it's officially basketball season. A lot of Jazz, mostly trade deadline coming up on Thursday.
Lots that can go on with other teams. We've kind of got our guys who we think have the highest chances of getting moved. We've actually both come up with a couple trades that we like, so we'll hit those as well.
Right.
Because that's the ultimate goal, Chase, is to be in that Utah Jazz war room someday, right?
Oh, I would.
For everybody, right? That's where we all want to be. We want to be the GM of the Jazz, so.
Yeah, I mean, I would pay obscene amounts of money for pay-per-view every year to watch like a 24-hour, you know, like from Monday until Thursday when the trade deadline's over, I would just watch like a 24-hour like news feed of the war room.
Yeah, I just want to see Gail Miller like throwing drinks in scouts' faces. That's what I want to see.
Or saying like he will absolutely not play for this organization. You know, blank team member.
Yeah. Behind the scenes.
I would love that. And then we're going to do our food review, obviously, and then we'll get out of here. So
love it.
But start things off as per usual. We'll do our normal segment of the peaks and valleys. And why don't you start us off this week, Clay?
Okay. So start low as usual. I'll go with my valley. Saturday we had a cool family thing. So our niece, Lila, she has had, obviously our last name is Carter. Her dad's last name was different than that. And he is just cut to the chase here. No longer really in the picture. Hasn't really been around much for her anyway growing up.
Right.
She just turned 7, and after all the legal battles and all the ugliness, she actually was able to legally change her name to Lila Carter. And so we had a little Carter celebration for her.
It's kind of cool. It was fun. Yeah.
So she is now she's always been a Carter, obviously, but here we go. So we threw a little party for her at the church. We got together, we had a meal, and we played games or whatever. So that was the fun part. But the value was, we were actually at our OG church, Chase, like the Big Steak Center Church on 13th East in Draper. They have an awesome basketball court there. It's full court, hardwood floors, really good hoops. And so as the party was going on, they had a couple basketballs in the gym just lying around. So me, you, and my wife, Jessica, went in there. And we were shooting around. It was fun. Britt came in too and shot a couple hoops. And I've always done this ever since I was little on our basketball court at our house.
Right.
You have to, you set something in your mind, right? Like, okay, I'm going to make three threes in a row before I leave, mm-hmm. or one half court shot before I leave, or whatever you set it.
You want to leave the court on a good note.
You have to, you have to. It's can't like leave Steph on Curry's a miss. Making like his shot from the tunnel,
right,
or whatever. You all do it when you're little, but so we said the same thing. It's like, okay, it was time to kind of go back in and be with the family. And everyone was like, hey, you guys need to come in. We're going to do cake or whatever. And I was like, all right, let's do this. The three of us have to make a three in a row. So all three of us have to make one three, but they all have to be consecutive.
That's me, you, and Jess.
Yep. Bang, bang, bang. So smash cut to 47 minutes later. And we finally did it. Like, it was supposed to be this fun little thing. Like, oh, yeah, let's make three threes in a row. And we get to two, like, I don't know, eight or nine times. And the third person would miss it.
It was me.
Most of the time.
It was me most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, I would get us going.
And every time I would do a walk-off, I'd shoot and just turn around and walk off.
Yeah.
And then just, you know,
it was total
Nick Young, think I made it. Every time it felt great,
yeah.
And I just rimmed out.
Didn't look great because it wasn't going in. So I found the range. I mean, I was starting us off a lot of the times there down the stretch there. It was wet. And so anyway, we finally did it. And
well, what's funny too is like by this time we're all sweating. We're tired.
I'm a sweater anyway.
Jessica had her shoes off.
My head. Like I sweat from my head and my face. And I'm just like... I have like sweat running down my face. We're at a freaking family party, like a church event, and we had to make those threes. So the valley was that it literally took the 47 minutes, mm-hmm. But kind of a fun one. So
yeah, that was great. Valley. So my valley actually took place earlier tonight, and I found myself in the middle of a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, or Seinfeld, take your pick, when you're adjusting your mic over there.
Sorry about that, everybody. Yep. Go ahead.
I was ordering from our favorite local Chinese place here in South Ogden called Golden Jade. And, you know, I mean, everybody's gone through this, right? Like, you call a Chinese place to order. This place is great because you always call, you talk to them, and they always go, okay, 5 minutes.
Mm.
And you're like, okay. You know, it's kind of great to hear, like, 5 minutes, my food's going to be ready. It's awesome. So... We, you know, after doing the tango that you do with your wife every night, asking what do you want for dinner, Britt said she was kind of craving the green beans from this place. They do like a sauteed green bean dish. They're really good. So I was like, yeah, sure. I'll call and I'll go pick it up. And, I call and I say, we want that your house special chicken. And which is kind of like a spicy chicken thing. Mm-hmm. And, an order of green beans. She goes, green beans, what meat? And I was like, no meat, just green beans. She was like, has to come with meat. And I was like, no, I don't know. And I'm on speaker and Britt.
Well, she thinks it's like the entree.
I would imagine.
Like, there's Chinese entrees.
Right. And I'm looking at their menu online and I'm like, this isn't even on there. So I can't even say like, no, it's this one, not this one. And mind you, I'm on speakerphone and Britt's looking at me and her sister Bailey's over here. She was eating with us and they're both looking at me and I'm like, beef? And Britt's like, no, there's no meat with it. And I'm like,
I'll have the cream of some young guy.
Yeah. So anyways,
is there a language barrier?
No. Yeah. There's a language barrier, but I did the worst thing possible and I just hung up.
Wow.
So I hung up and I look at Britt and I say, okay, obviously I don't know what the green bean dish is. So why don't you call an order?
Mm.
Cause I'm not calling back, like making look like an idiot and you call an order and then I'll go pick it up.
Okay.
And she calls with me right there. She waits like 5 minutes. She goes, I want the house special chicken dinner combination. We want a side of green beans and I want ham fried rice. And then she goes, oh yeah. And hot and sour soup for the dinner combo. She goes, okay. Okay. Thanks. Bye. And I was like, what? Worked for you just fine.
Yeah.
You know, like how come it didn't work for me? How come she's asking me all these questions that I don't know the answers to?
Right.
So anyways, I didn't think anything of it. Well, 5 minutes later when I show up to Golden Jade to pick up my order, what do you think happens? I walk in. Hi, do you have Jordan's chicken? I was like, no, I had the house special chicken. She goes, oh, you're the guy that called me and hung up.
Mm.
And I was like, I just froze. I was like, no, I don't think so. No. She goes, yeah, yeah, you have a bad signal? Because then somebody else called a woman and made the exact same order right after. Dude, she totally called me out in front of all these people. And I
was she Chinese?
Oh, yeah. She's the owner. She's been there forever.
Okay.
So she knows, you know?
Yeah.
And I just did the worst thing possible and just was like, no, you've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy.
I feel like that's respectable. Sometimes it's not like, sometimes you just got to go down with the ship and you got to stick to your story. Yeah. Right?
No, I just deny. But
deny.
It was literally like, it was the worst, dude. Cause she was just like, no, I'm pretty sure it was you. And like she knew, we both knew. Like, I would be the worst person ever. Like if I'm holding a knife over a dead body and the cops show up and I go, no, you got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Not you me. Know, like that's pretty much how it was. So, oh my gosh, it was just super embarrassing.
It seems fine. It seems fine right now, but you're on the blacklist now. Like she immediately wrote like a skull and crossbones next to your name and number. And who knows what's going to happen next time you eat there.
Yeah.
It's been nice knowing you.
I know. So I can't pick up. I can't order from there anymore, but I do enjoy their food. But you know, I was feeling extra nice. So I tipped $3 instead of two on the takeout.
Takeout for two people.
Yeah. And I tipped three. Usually I'm a $2 tipper.
What's the total bill?
It's $20.
That's plenty for takeout.
Yeah. I mean, just put it in a bag and tied it. So
yeah, I kind of go, I either round to dollars. I don't even necessarily do a percentage.
This place is one of those really cool places too, real quick, where your bill is always even. So it was $20.
Oh, weird.
I don't know how they do that with taxes and everything, but they just round it to evens.
Oh, that's nice. So then you can just tip an even $3.
It's probably illegal and they're probably laundering money, but who cares?
I think the takeout tip is so interesting because everyone is very set in their ways.
Oh, there's opinions on it for sure.
I just think I always do something, but it's like a buck or two. But it's the same thing for like a bartender. You walk in, get a drink or something. It's like, you're getting a buck, but not more than a buck. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, I don't know. We could spend a whole episode on tipping, Chase.
We could. Absolutely. So anyways, that was just happened tonight. It was super embarrassing because there was people around and everyone's like, who's this guy? So just sucked. But let's climb the mountain. Why don't you hit us with your peak?
Okay. So I got the movie pass and...
The $10?
Yeah. You heard about it?
Uh-huh.
So... Yeah, it's really cool. It came in the mail, and then basically what it is, it's just a credit card. It looks like a debit card. It says MoviePass on it. I think it has even like a credit card number on the front. And then what you do is you download their app, and then you go into the app. Let me back up. Let me explain what's going on here for everybody that might not know what it is. It's $10 a month. There's no contract, so you can just pay month to month. And then what that means is you can go see a movie every 24 hours. So it used to be just every day, meaning you could go to the 10 o'clock at night and then you could go to the 10 the next morning. But they have made it 24 hours now. Mm-hmm. So you do have to wait 24 hours in between. Unlimited movies. Now, when you first hear that, you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be one theater in your state? It's like over 4,000 theaters across the United States. In Utah, it's all the good theaters. There's a Cinemark in Fort Union that's right by my house. I can go to that one. I can go to all of Larry H. Miller's theaters. And then that pretty much covers it, right? Like if you're at Megaplex and Cinemark,
you're going to find
you're good.
Yeah.
So you go onto the app, you actually go through their selections of movies and movie times, and then you check in there and reserve a seat. You do have to be within like, I don't know, like 300 yards of the theater. So you have to do it when you get there. But then once you're checked...
That's obviously to protect them.
Yeah. Right. So then because they don't want people logging in and saving seats and then not showing up, right?
Right.
So then once you're there, you just take the card up to the actual, like where you would normally pay, and they swipe it, bam, and it covers tax and everything. You get in, boom. And so I'm excited about it. It's awesome because I'm a big movie guy anyway.
So Daddy's been seeing a lot of movies.
Yeah. I'm a film dude myself.
Were you going to go with movie buff? Would you say movie buff?
I don't know. I was trying to sound cool.
Film dude?
Yeah. Well, not dude maybe, but, you know, if you're
you're already on the coolness track if you use the word film over movie. Yeah,
I saw that. It's a great film.
Yeah, great film.
So anyway, that's my peak, because it is Oscar season. So, and we're actually doing an Oscar episode, and I'm trying to bang through all of the big nominated movies. So perfect time for that to show up.
Maybe not the best choice of word using bang in the Hollywood Oscar. Maybe.
Yeah.
Steer clear of that.
I'm going to abuse the hell out of that movie pass.
Oh my gosh. all right. Well, it's a family show. So, so anyways, you got it and it's been working.
Yeah.
How many awesome. Movies, like what's your record? You just got it?
Yeah. Okay. I've used it twice. So
bang, it's paid for itself.
But now that the Super Bowl's come and gone, and now I have some time, like these next 2 weeks are going to be, I'm going to be going for some personal records. And I will be attending movies by myself, because I can't drag Jessica to this many movies. So I will be going by myself to late night movies.
I am a big advocate for doing that. I started doing it a couple of years ago. There'd be times when, you know, I would just take a Ferris Bueller day and I'd go see a movie by myself. And it was fantastic.
The matinee, like during the week.
Yeah.
Like if you have the day off, is such a power move. Oh, by yourself.
I would leave my job early when I was going to quote unquote school, like on a day that school, like class got canceled. I'm like, nah, I'm leaving work, you know?
Right.
And would go to a movie. The first one I went and saw was Fast Five. Nice. Yeah. Tells you how long I've been doing this. Only person in the theater took a phone call in the movie, in the middle of the movie, just stood up. Pulled my pants down for a while. I didn't need that. But no, it's just wonderful to go to a movie by yourself. It's
agreed.
You feel a little weird when you go like during prime time, like on a weekend at night. I've done that too.
When it's busy.
Yeah. And you're like just sitting here by myself.
With
my large popcorn and large drink. Yes, I'm eating the whole thing. No, but it's just, I don't know. It's just like liberating. It just feels great.
It does. And if you're a movie guy, honestly, Chase, you should look into this. It's pretty sweet. Like
I'm going to. With the baby, it's been kind of hard, but yeah, I could be a matinee guy. You know,
movie life is over. The second you have children, it's just over. But one movie a month and it's paid for, and then everything after that's gravy. That's very doable.
Very.
Okay.
I agree.
All right.
Sweet. So let's get into my lesser cool than that peak. And it's just basic, you know, on top of my shit stuff. I already got my taxes done, submitted, done. Probably getting my refund next week. I mean, my sister-in-law Bailey talked about it earlier. She is a tax accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Got her all my stuff, downloaded all my statements, sent them over. Bang bang, chicken and shrimp, just done, dude. Done in like
they're not they're not behind or anything. They're on top of it this year, so you should get it in like 2 weeks or something, right?
Oh like, yeah, easy. Like she asked me tonight. She's like, did you get it yet?
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, when you're ahead of the game, they'll get it to you quick.
Yeah.
So, I'm expecting it next week already. So, just a good feeling to get that done with. You know, I'm fine with people say you should. You know, if you can owe less than $1,000 or get less than $1,000 back, then that's, you're like in the right range. And I'm like, I'm fine getting some back. It's an interest-free loan I'm giving the government, but I also think of it as kind of a nice little savings account.
Right. Forces you to save a little bit.
Yeah.
Plus it's a good time to get that back right before our March Madness Vegas trip.
Exactly.
That's what I like to time it with. So
get some extra cash, a little ping ping. So
love it.
That's done. So let's move on. Let's talk Super Bowl. Let's dive in. Lots of stuff happened. Lots of props. Now, folks, I did watch the game at Clay's house, and it was a prop party. Let me just say that. Clay was singing and dancing at the praises of the most random plays that to a lot of people meant nothing, but to people that had money on the game, meant a lot. You know, heads or tails, first off. We're sitting there counting. I had a timer on Pink on the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, minute 53 hits the under. Like there was a lot of fun stuff going on, and we had a great time. It was, I mean, props to you as hosts. Great. It was great.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It was fun having you guys over. We kept it intimate. It was small. Like I said before, a lot of people like to party and get crazy. I like to hear the announcers, and I like to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to focus on the game. Watch a little game. Bit. Yeah. So, we can just kind of jump in, to the props. I ended up taking, I think, like 18, like actual props.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
So I'll kind of tell you how I did on some of these, because I think it's interesting to hear. I think I went 10-8, so I a little bit over 500. But I hit a couple decent long shots that helped. So I ended up
making some money,
even though I was on the Pats and actually on the under in the game, still turned a decent profit. So like you said, the first thing that got me going was Pink. I said all along, everyone pounds the over in the Anthem. Mm-hmm. She just seemed like the one person that wasn't going to milk it. And she absolutely didn't. I mean, she did fine. It was great. She went like a minute 53. She was like 8 seconds under, and I think that's when I had to pass Quinn to someone because I was holding the baby so I could then run around with my shirt off.
It wasn't that. I'll tell you when it was.
Okay.
That was close.
So the Anthem got us started. Now, going back, I loved all of Jay Ajayi's overs. I took his over rushes, his over yards. And dude, LeGarrette Blount just got way more carries in this game than I thought.
Well, I read a stat today that he was averaging like 16 yards per carry in the first half.
So, yeah, he looked good, but I just think Ajayi is a better runner. Like I'm just shocked that at the end of the day, Blount got more touches. Obviously, they won the game and everything.
Yeah,
I see Blount, you know, inside the 20, obviously, but like they just ran Blount into the ground, so they ended up. Ajayi got 9 carries for 57 yards, which is like 6.5 per carry. Blount got 14 carries for 90. So Blount actually covered all of his overs. I picked the wrong back. And so that kind of hurt me.
Blount force drama.
You know, Gronk.
I just had to say that joke. I mean, it meant nothing, but you're welcome.
I love it. Gronk's overs ended up hitting because of that opening drive in the second half. They threw it to him like 3 or 4 times in a row.
Right.
So he ended up going over his 5.5 receptions, his over 77 yards. Now his over under on longest reception was 25.5. I took the over. His longest reception was 25 yards.
Cool. That's gross.
So that one was a loser by 0.5 yard. Burkhead over 17.5 yards rushing, that one hit by 0.5 yard. So that's kind of a wash there. Like I said, I liked the under in this game, and I kind of when I was going through the props, I said, hey, look for spots for unders because everyone hits the overs. This game shattered every over record.
I know.
And so like it was really hard to hit any unders. I mean, I had Brady's under completions, under attempts, Foles under completions, under attempts. They smashed all those.
Right.
So
they set records for yards and everything. Like,
yeah. And these are where I'm losing some of my props. Now I did take Brady over 2.5 TDs, which was plus money. It was like plus 130. So that was a decent little guy that hit. Now to the big boys. Corey Clement scores a touchdown was plus 450. I took that.
That's when you passed me the baby.
That was it. When he had that catch was incredible.
I know. It was crazy.
And that was a dime from Foles. And then it went to review because that left foot did hit out of bounds. So that was intense. Yeah, I had to pass Quinn off quickly so that I could do my dance. But that was a good one. And then my other medium long shot that hit was missed extra point, yes, plus 250, and that was covered in like the first 8 minutes of the game.
There was 2 missed extra points.
Yeah, so that was awesome. That got me there. You know, going back, not to toot my own horn here, but everybody liked the Eagles, obviously. I mean, there was a lot of money won on the Eagles, a lot of bets made on the Eagles money line.
Right.
And, you know, we recommended saying, hey, if you like the Eagles, you should actually look at Foles MVP odds.
Mm-hmm.
They were anywhere from plus 300 to plus 380.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a lot of value there. How many times do they win that game and he doesn't win it?
Right.
It would have to take a miraculous defensive touchdown to win the game at the end of the game. That player might win it. Or Ajayi has 3 touchdowns.
Or somebody. Yeah, yeah.
But Foles is going to win that most of the time. when they win that game.
Right.
And so that +300, +380 was a decent bet if you hit that. Just to hit some of these records, Chase, 1,151 yards, most combined yards in not only a Super Bowl, but a playoff game. I mean, it was insane. I thought the Eagles would be able to slow down the Pats a little bit, and then I thought Belichick would be able to confuse Foles a little bit. Not the case. There was one punt in this game.
Yeah. One punt. I mean, like, barely any penalties. I think there was, like, what, three or four total penalties?
There was one sack, and it was a big strip sack that
right.
kind of sealed the game for the yeah. Eagles. One sack. Like, just... these offenses were just creating space everywhere. It truly was everywhere.
The Russian versus Rocky, and they were just trading blows, just all offense, no defense. And it was fun. It was a fun game.
I mean, if you're Brady and you walk into the locker room and you throw for 505 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, are you violent at your defense? Like, can you guys get one stop? I mean, 505 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, and you lose the Super Bowl.
Congrats, Lions. That's your new head coach. So yeah. Congrats.
33 points, most ever given up in a Super Bowl by a losing team. There's a bunch of records that were broken in this game. I couldn't believe the Eagles were able to score that easily. But, you know, where we were wrong, we were worried about this game. We were worried about the matchup a little bit. It was a great Super Bowl. I mean, we're like six in a row now. Can you ask for
fantastic games?
And then all the way down to the Gronk Hail Mary. I mean, there we are again. He's right there, you know. It was a fantastic Super Bowl.
What I liked most about it is there was like a few chances for it to just kind of not be close at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The strip sack, I thought this game's over, but Patriots hold them. They don't run, you know. They don't pass the ball on third down because it was like, what, a minute 40 left, and they could have passed to get that first down. It's game over. They don't. They get the ball back with 60 seconds left. It's fourth down.
And, 80 seconds left. A minute 20.
Minute 20. Right. That's right. And it's fourth down on Tom Brady's own 10-yard line. He completes it. He gets himself in the chance to make a play. And, I mean, obviously the play wasn't made. It was a Hail Mary. But, man, it was just like, it just did not disappoint at any level.
Yep.
There was a sweet, like, probably a play will be talked about for years. The Philly special, Nick Foles calls his own number. You know, it's fourth down and goal, 30 seconds left in the first half. They do the reverse, you know, the pink lady, right. pass to the quarterback. Like, the game had it all, you know. It was just, it was a classic, instant classic.
I did want to say one thing, Chase. Doug Peterson won this Super Bowl for the Eagles. He coached one of the best games you'll see. He made maybe one or two mistakes I saw. They should have thrown on second down at the end of the game there.
Right.
When Belichick called the timeout with 2 minutes and 3 seconds, that actually sets up an opportunity for the Eagles to throw there and not get penalized.
Right.
And you can end the game. That was I'm always going to find something.
Right.
That was my one complaint. He went for it on fourth down on the pink. That was fourth down.
Yeah.
Pink lady. They convert there. They went for it on fourth down early in the game. And then they went for it on their own 40 late in the game.
Yeah.
And they just picked up third and fourth downs all day. Great play calling, but also great aggressive decisions. A lot of coaches get there and they play conservative because they don't want to cost their team the game. He probably won them the game with some of those decisions
he made. By taking risks, yeah. And I think you have to do that to beat the Patriots. You have to take some risks. And because nitty-gritty wise, like, let's be honest, Belichick's probably going to go down as a better coach than Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll see, obviously. But I think Peterson just showed his balls, man. Like, they say Big Dick Nick, but Big Ball Doug, I guess. I don't know, because he made some big decisions and it paid dividends. And obviously, he's the one that went home with the Lombardi. So, I mean, it was just... I found myself, like, oddly changing who I was cheering for throughout the game. It was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I kind of wanted the Patriots to do it, but I was like super happy that they didn't. I don't know. It was a really odd game because when you don't have a dog in the fight, you just want a good game.
Right.
And that's why we've been so spoiled, because they've been great games, you know? And so I just really enjoyed. And I will say, like, for as bad as a year that the NFL's had, as far as like all the political crap, dude, they find a way, because any casual fan that watched that game, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
1,000 yards of offense and, you know, super high scoring game with a great storyline, and
they're throwing passes to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Both like, teams. Crazy
they
place.
Probably got some new fans after that.
Yeah. And, you know, it felt like everyone and their mom was betting everyone on the Eagles, obviously. You know, the Patriot hate is real. Everyone's sick of the Patriots.
Right.
So that was, you know, the underdog story is always good, I think, for a league. That helps. So, you know, just to kind of put a button on football, or I guess I should say put a bow on it. Is that the saying? Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know what? I saw something really funny. I think it might have been PFT who said, when Foles caught that touchdown, he said, you know what? That's how you know he's a good receiver, because he got all three legs in. Which I thought was great. So shout out to PFT. But to put a bow on it and wrapping up football, I'm going to throw out next year's Super Bowl odds. So these came out the second the Eagles had been handed the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football never stops. It never sleeps. We're already looking at next year. So just to start, obviously the Pats are not going anywhere. There's a little bit of rumblings about Brady and Belichick. Brady sounds like for sure he's not retiring. Belichick, a little bit more gray area, I think. He's getting older, dude. He's 68. But he's got another shot at the Super Bowl next year, so I don't think he's going anywhere. They're the favorite. So the Pats are 5-1 to win the title next year, to win the Super Bowl. Behind them, the Steelers and Eagles are both at 7-1. Then it's kind of interesting. It goes to Packers, Vikings, 12-1. So those are the five favorites. Pats, Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Vikings. And then after that, you have the NFC South teams like Atlanta, Carolina, and the Saints. Where do you think your Niners are? They're going to be
middle of the pack.
They're going to be the dark horse that everyone writes articles about next fall.
Yeah.
And next summer.
Because of Jimmy G.
Yep. There's always one team every year that everybody rallies behind. It was like Detroit a couple years ago.
I hate this, by the way.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it.
You're going to get all these expectations.
It was the Broncos this year, kind of like, ooh, like they found their quarterback.
Yep.
They, you know, that defense is incredible. And
it'll be the Niners that everyone writes the articles about out. So they're, you know, their value is probably going down as far as the number you can bet on them at, and they're 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. They went 5-11 last year, right? Or 6-10.
5-11, I think. I think it was 5-11.
And they're 25-1. So they are kind of middle of the pack, upper middle of the pack. If that makes you sad that everyone's going to be writing articles about your Niners, the Browns, Bears, and Jets round out the bottom odds at 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. I'm sandwiched between the Browns and the Jets at 100-1 for the Bears.
10 God, dude.
They don't know what's coming. 10 God is going to be throwing
honestly,
all
I like
over.
The Bears value way more because you got rid of the worst piece on that team, and it was John Fox.
Exactly.
And I would even say, like, this might sound crazy, but everyone, like, loved Matt Patricia as the Pats DC, but it's like, dude just gave up points all year.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a really good offense to kind of cover up some holes.
They had like the 29th ranked secondary.
Yeah, like I mean, say what you want to say, like I think they have a pretty good like front seven.
They do the bend don't break pretty well.
Exactly,
right? They're like
yeah.
a top five scoring defense somehow, but they're not a good defense,
right?
So
anyways, I'm just saying, like, looking at these top odds, there's a lot of pieces that it's interesting that they're favored that way, because like the Steelers lost Todd Haley. Good thing. Me and you both think so, but maybe not. You know, new offensive scheme, everything like that. We'll have to see.
Yeah, they have so much talent.
Packers obviously bringing back Rodgers. Vikings, that team is going to be interesting. I think that's Case Keenum's team still.
You know,
but they were planning on Teddy Bridgewater, so
that defense will be back though.
Right, defense is there, so it's just interesting. I mean,
the Bears hit 100-1. I mean, I don't want to get too excited, but dude, our defense, when healthy,
throw a tenner on that, dude.
Oh, I'll be throwing at least a tenner on that, because quarterbacks make a leap from that. Look what Jared Goff did. if Trubisky can make some sort of that rookie to sophomore leap, you have a great running back. Jordan Howard is still like one of the most underrated running backs in the game. Mm-hmm. We draft maybe some receivers. Like I said, that defense gets healthy.
Got Urlacher on D back there.
Oh, I healthy can see it now.
Oh, wait, no. He's in the Hall of Fame now. I forgot.
Shout out to Urlacher, by the way. I think I have 3 Urlacher jerseys. One of my favorite players. So, anyway, that's looking to next year. So that kind of wraps up football. We're going to jump to hoops, Chase, I think, because we got a lot to go through with the Jazz. But before I do that, just a quick little shout to the Olympics are starting this week. They snuck up on me.
It's the 2 weeks where we all pretend to care about sports we know nothing about. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Can't wait to see what the skeleton team looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to hit the track hard.
Yep.
Bobsled, skeleton, super pipe with the fakie fakies. Everyone acts like they know what's going on. Yeah. No one really knows.
Oh, he spun around 7 yeah. times. So, of course, from the gambling angle, I like looking at that. Olympic gold medal count odds are out. The top 2 countries, these are gold medals only, Germany and Norway, both at 12.5 gold medals.
This is because Russia is not allowed, right?
No, so they do have odds on... Oh, I should have wrote this down. It's not Russia. It's the professional athletes from Russia.
Oh, that's right.
So they like do, you know, it's not technically the country, but it's the...
Athletes from
that,
there.
Yeah, however that works.
The independent athletes or whatever.
Yeah, that's how it's labeled on the betting sites. So, and then the Americans are second behind Germany and Norway, so third technically. 10.5 gold medals. It's so hard for me to not take the over. What, you want me to cheer against America? Like, of course I'm going to take 11 gold medals.
And you want to cheer for Germany? Like, get out of here. Mm.
Norway's cool.
Yeah, it's fine. Norway's fine.
They're really good at, like, the weird stuff where you have to, like, trek through snow and then shoot a rifle.
Yeah. Oh, guaranteed gold for Norway.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So those are the top odds there on the gold medal count. But, Thursday's
opening ceremonies.
Opening ceremony. So
games start on Friday. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's fun, and we do every 4 years. So sweet. I let me know when you're placing the bet on the USA. I mean, I always make some freedom deposits, and maybe I'll double up your bet.
We'll get some baby coin on it.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, let's move on to hoops. First, let's talk Jazz.
It's all we really need to talk.
Right. But we're going to talk some trade deadline and stuff too. But sure. let's talk Jazz first. All right, dude. What the heck is going on with this team? Because a month ago, we were like, fire sell everybody. We don't care. Keep, you know, everybody's on the block except for Gobert and Mitchell, pretty much, right? Is what we were saying.
Yes, but not to toot my own horn, I also said, when everybody's in there, this team is way too talented to actually tank. Like, we're just not going to be able to lose enough games. We're too talented when everyone's there.
We call it the natural tank, where we just...
But when Rudy is back and healthy, and then, like, when Rodney plays, we're too good. I mean, you look around at all the really bad teams in the league, we're not going to lose more games than the Kings. We're not going to lose more games than Atlanta. We're not going to lose more games than the Magic. You know what I mean? There's just teams that are... set to tank, and we just aren't there.
We're not. Right. I think we just hit a boiling point because we were losing to teams like Atlanta. And you know what I mean? So it was just frustrating.
It was just frustrating for me.
We had lose to Atlanta, and then we went on the road and beat the Celtics, and we went on the road and we beat the Wizards. And so it was just frustrating for us.
Yep. 6 in a row.
Now, obviously, on a tear.
3 of the most impressive wins. I mean, obviously, you get Golden State, you get San Antonio, we go to Toronto. They look like the top, maybe the best team in the East, them in Boston.
Right.
Maybe the Wizards. But that Toronto team's tough to beat up there. And we beat them. We punched them in the mouth.
Now 4 games in a row, over 120 points.
I don't want to, like, I hate getting ahead of myself. But, man, we get the Grizzlies tomorrow night, Wednesday night. That's a very winnable game. We are going to be favored in that game by 7 or 8 points. They are playing bad. They're on the second game of back-to-back. This is actually a really good schedule win for us.
Yeah.
They're on a back-to-back, Chase.
And they've had a lot of trade talk. Tyreke Evans is probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some...
And they're just not playing well,
Yeah, there's just like some room for some weird, you know, like they might... he might get held out of the game.
Yeah.
You don't know.
So the schedule to go into the All-Star break, Grizzlies tomorrow night. We come home for the Hornets on Friday. We got to get them back. They beat us there. A little bit of a revenge game, and we get them at home. You got to win home. We have to win home games.
Yep. For the rest of the year. We've always said that. Home games we have to win.
And now, more than ever, if we really want to make a run, win your home games. We get the Hornets at home, then the big game, and it's on a Sunday, which scares me because we don't play on Sundays a lot. We've had some success the last couple of years on Sundays. We go to Portland. Portland and the Pelicans, I think, are the two teams we can catch. Denver's too good. Denver's good.
Yep. We just beat the Pelicans, though.
And they're going to get...
on the road.
Yep. And they're going to get Millsap back, and they're going to be even better. No one's talking about how well of a coaching job Terry Stotts is doing. That Portland roster is not great, and they are in the sixth seed, I think, right now. Incredible job by him, but just because that roster isn't great, I think we can catch them, Chase. So we get Portland, we go to Portland, we come home for the Spurs, we have the Suns at home, and then we go into the All-Star break. So Grizzlies, Hornets, Blazers, Spurs, Suns. If we can get that Portland game on the road, I think we can get almost all these games, Jay. Or let's say we even go 4-1. We're at 29-29? Yeah, if we go 4-1 over these next five, 29-29 go into the All-Star break. And then we have one of the most favorable schedules down the stretch.
Yeah, we make a run. I mean, so right now we're sitting at 25-28, obviously. Looks like the Pelicans are 28-25 in the eighth seed.
Mm-hmm. But they don't look
good. They just lost to Marcus, obviously. Their whole game depends on Anthony Davis, is what we saw. Everything has to go through him.
But aren't you glad we didn't get Mirotić? I know it was one game.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, but he just looks like he's soft. Defend.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to rebound. He just wants to sit on the three-point line.
Yeah. Honestly, there's kind of a logjam right now at 6, 7, and 8. Nuggets sit at 29-25. Surprisingly, Blazers 29-25 as well. And then Pelicans at 28-25. Then it goes Clippers at 27-25, who are going to be trending downward because they're blowing that team up.
Yep.
And then us. So
now that they lost Blake, they'll come back to earth a little bit.
Yeah. So really, and then after us, pretty big drop off. Lakers 21-31, Grizzlies 18-35, Suns 18-36.
So
who cares after that? So
that's kind of where we're looking at as far as going into the All-Star break. We will reevaluate after those five games. Trade deadline's in almost 48 hours, Chase.
Yep.
So give me one of your trades first. What do you think?
Well, as we were preparing for this podcast, I started messing around with the NBA trade machine. Not healthy. Let me just say that. It's not healthy. So I did trades that will never happen. are you ready?
Well, don't say that. Let's try and sell them to me here. Let's hear it.
Okay. Number one, Karl Anthony Towns and Jamal Crawford for Derek Favors and Rodney Hood.
Yeah.
Hollinger's analysis. We get three more wins and Minnesota gets four less wins. They would never do that.
Why not trade their young 7-foot center that can shoot threes, who's only 20 years old?
And one of the best bench scorers in the NBA for two dudes that are like, meh, you know.
You know, the funny thing is the Timberwolves are probably a piece away, right? They're like middle of the pack West. They're not going to beat the Warriors. No one's going to beat the Warriors, but they're not going to beat the Rockets or the Spurs. No,
they're sitting pretty comfy at the 4 seed right now.
But they probably are looking around, right? Because they're one piece away, essentially. Yeah. I don't know what that piece is,
Hey, to get realistic, they could call us for somebody like a Joe Johnson.
That's actually a good point. Joe Johnson would be actually really good on that team.
Veteran, can score, bench player.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need in the playoffs. You need weapons and you need scoring. And
he can just throw him the ball and he gets you a bucket.
Yeah.
It's not like, man, his game is just so awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's been reported that he kind of wants out here. That might shift as we get closer to the playoffs, you know. And, you know, honestly, I'm okay with if we move him because he kind of served his purpose here. He got us to the playoffs. We beat the Clippers.
On his game
win. On basically on him, you know. And I think Jazz fans should be happy with what he did here. It's not, we knew he wasn't a long-term piece. He's not a long-term piece anywhere. He's been in the NBA for 18 years.
For sure. No, he needs to go to a contender.
And so, yeah, let him try and get on with somebody like the Timberwolves. Let him try and get on with, you know, anybody in the East. I don't know, that maybe the Raptors or somebody.
If we keep him on, he's, you know, he's the $10 million. If we send him away, that's $10 million off the books, right? I'm fine with whatever happens with Joe. I want Joe Jesus to be happy.
Yeah, me
too. That's all I want. So give me your second trade.
Also, not super realistic, but obviously the theme for us is kind of favors and Hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I might hate myself for even bringing this up, but my second trade was Draymond Green for Derek Favors and Rodney Hood.
I bet they would think long and hard about trading the defensive player of the year.
Yeah. And putting him to the number two in voting with the defensive player in year. So yeah. Honestly,
it's not like he's poking some holes
in this trade besides the just straight logic. Draymond's not a scorer. Rudy's not really a scorer either. So looking at it from a strictly basketball point of view, it's not great for us. I mean, it's obviously great for us, but it's not sometimes I feel like we need to add scoring because our defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the number one net rated defense since Rudy came back. And so I think we need to add some more scoring.
Yeah. It's always the, who's going to be the stretch forward to play with Rudy.
Exactly.
That's why I say Dario Saric. We should be calling Philly every day and saying, what do you want for Dario Saric? I feel like he's the perfect dude to play alongside Rudy.
I like that. My other one was, it honestly was Kevin Love, but he got hurt.
Yeah. Well, do you want me to give you mine?
Yeah, let's hear him.
Okay, so I just recently heard that this guy might be available. He'd be very expensive. There's been some rumblings, and he plays in the Eastern Conference, which makes it a little bit easier. You know, teams are more inclined to ship really good players to the opposite conference, so they don't have to deal with them anymore.
I'm getting excited.
So, Favors and Hood. And look, both those guys have value.
Let me try and guess who it is. Give me one more hint.
That he's on a really a bottom three Eastern Conference team.
And he's a four?
Yeah, he was a top five pick.
Aaron Gordon.
That's exactly who it is.
Bang.
Favors, Hood, good. For Gordon, Payton. Payton's on the last year of his deal.
The hair guy?
Yeah. And they want him out. And Mo Spates is on a 1-year deal. I had to make salaries match.
Oh, dude. You did not say the Mo Spates word.
That's why, look, you have to take on something terrible in order to get Aaron Gordon.
How much does the mole on his head cost?
Well, it has a player option. and it's going to pick it up. So, Favors is a four that can guard 1 through 4, and he can guard on the perimeter. Hood is a 6'8 scoring machine when he plays. Those guys don't fall, grow on trees. That's a decent package. I've heard that they're willing to part ways with Aaron Gordon. I know it's a long shot. That makes the salaries match. Look, Aaron Gordon is a guy that can guard 1 through 5. He is a fantastic defensive player. He's not necessarily a stretch four that you want next to Rudy, but he's up to his 3-point shooting percentage almost 7 points this year. He's up to 35% from the three.
That's respectable from a four.
If he could get that to 37, 38, then you're wow, he's actually very valuable. He's super young, dude. He came out way young. If there is any chance to get a guy like that to pair with Rudy and Donovan, that's a great young core.
That's a big three.
He plays hard.
Add Ricky Rubio to that, and then you got Jingle and Joe. And
I feel like he'd fit in Utah. We would love that kid here because he plays hard. He seems like a Utah guy to me. But all that said, the more I kind of look at it, folks, I think every day I wake up, I think it's almost less likely we make a move. Just because everything I'm reading is Hood is actually too expensive for teams. We're not just going to give him away.
Well, we shouldn't. We shouldn't, dude.
Right.
We've developed him. Once again, we did what we always have to do, and we draft well, and then everybody gets the profit off of us. I'm sick of it. And frankly, it sounds like Dennis Lindsay is too, and I'm glad because,
he wants a first round pick for him.
Yeah.
And he's a starting 6'8 he's a starting 6'8" wing that can score.
Yeah.
That's worth a first round draft pick.
Yeah. And what obviously he's had some injury issues and he's had, he's streaky, right?
He is. Teams are always willing to roll the dice with injuries, right? They always think they're always like, our medical staff can maybe work that out.
Yeah, I agree. So I'll go ahead.
Oh, and then Favors is tough. He is literally a rental, right? Like, who's going to want him? He's hard because it's like you get him for 2 months and then he's a free agent.
Yeah.
And he doesn't bring shooting, which is what teams always want at the deadline. And so he's going to be, I don't know. Either one of them could get moved. It wouldn't surprise me. But every day I wake up, I think, man, we might just try and roll the dice one more time with this team and then trade Rodney in the offseason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I did the same thing I do every year. And like a month before the trade deadline, I'm like, trade them all. I hate every one of them. I have no emotional connection to these guys. And then like today, I'm like, and after the Pelicans game, I'm like, don't trade anyone, please. Please don't trade anyone. There's like three untouchables on this team. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Raul Neto. Don't let any of those guys go. No, but
Quinn would be my third.
No, but you know, it's hard because we just hit this groove and it's like, we're playing really well. And so obviously you don't want to like mess it up. Right now, basketball season, the NBA season, especially, there's ebbs and flows. We've seen it. The Jazz are just like, we go on winning streaks, we go on losing streaks. That's how the season started. We go like on a 7-game winning streak. We'd go like on a 6-game losing streak. And then we'd lose like 9 of the next 11. Like it's just been up and down all year. And so
a lot of injuries.
We're on and up. Right. Yep. And the team's healthy. And so it's hard for me to be like, yeah, let's mess it up.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of leaning more towards you. Like, let's maybe not. Let's maybe give this 8th or 7th seed a run for its money and see where it goes.
Would you rather, we're going to tweet out, would you rather be the 8th seed or would you rather have the 12th pick in the draft? We'll tweet it out. Hold your thoughts, because we got to get to this other stuff real quick.
Yeah.
We're going to reevaluate the Jazz at the All-Star break, Chase, because that's where we could either be 29-29 looking really good. These next 5 games are important. Speaking of the All-Star break, our boy Spida, the Don, gets into the dunk contest. He's foregoing the skills challenge. I'll give you my thoughts quickly on what I think of Donovan in the dunk contest, and I want to hear yours. I'm actually really worried about him. I feel like, I hate to say this, he's more of an in-game dunker.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I don't know. Really small guys, they can do okay in the dunk contest. It's not, but they can struggle too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he actually has the least amount of time. I know it was a couple days less than everybody else, but he doesn't have a ton of time to prepare all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about him. I think
it's also a weekend this weekend.
No, we still have 5 more games, so it's like the Valentine's weekend, I think.
That's right. Okay, a week from...
Or the week after Valentine's or something.
Yeah, it's a week from this weekend.
Next weekend. So we have a little bit of time, but I just think he's an in-game dunker, and he can fly, but I don't know how he's going to do in a dunk contest. A little worried about my guy.
No, I think those are all valid points. I'm happy for him. That's mostly my thing, is I think it's exciting for him to get the call. When everyone knew he should have been in.
And he seems ecstatic about it.
Yeah, he seems like really happy. And I think he gets... he might surprise a few people. I mean, the dude has insane hops. And he has super freakish long arms, which sounds dumb, but that really helps you with dunking. So you can pull, like, weird moves off, right? Like, whether it's in between your legs twice or something crazy. Like, you have to have a long reach because you're going to be going the way down, so you have to be able to get the ball up and dunk it.
Mm-hmm.
I speak from experience here as also a very big in-game dunker.
So they're going to be dunking on 10-foot hoops, Chase, not 7-footers.
Okay, yeah, that's a difference.
Okay.
Still speaking from experience. I'm just excited for him. I think he's going to be...
I am too.
He's going to... I mean, I don't think he's going to win it. He could. I mean, we didn't think Jeremy Evans was going to win it, and he won it.
Yeah.
Probably one of the worst dunk contests of all time, but still, they were
trying to decent dunks.
No, he had some sweet dunks, but they were trying to do that stupid social media thing, the Sprite Slam. It was just...
That was weird.
And when they announced the winner, she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Jeremy Evans. It was just like...
Right.
Stupid. But
no, I'm excited for him too. It's going to be fun to watch. And now it's like... Now it's must watch for Jazz fans.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I
mean,
dunk contest is always entertaining. You have it on, but now it's like, ooh, I can't wait to see what he does. Yeah. I just hope he doesn't... I hope he hits his dunks on his first attempts and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
But represent the Jams, Spyla. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So let's... you ready to wrap it up?
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to our last little segment here. Food review. This place, I feel like people should know it more, but every time I mention it, no one knows what I'm talking about. This place is a little gem down in Salt Lake, right on 4th South. It's called Charlie Chow's Dragon Grill.
About 250 East. It's right between 2nd and 3rd East.
Yeah, just right down there. Blink and you'll miss it.
Across from the library.
Yeah, right across from the library. Exactly. 250 East, 400 South, down in Salt Lake City. It's a Mongolian barbecue style restaurant. Now, those have kind of popped up in popularity a little bit over the last few years, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
With places like, I guess the main one would be like the chain of like Hu Hot, or however you say that.
Yeah, but
kind of the same idea.
Can't even touch Charlie Chow's.
That's my point. Like, Hu Hot is garbage compared to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this place is greasy. You know, there's a lot going on in there. It's a little dirty.
Yeah.
As far as like...
Well, we always ask for extra MSG.
Right.
But it's so tasty.
But they have... I mean, they serve like actual like... you can order entrees and stuff. Yes. But the real thing you want to do there is the Dragon Grill, obviously, right?
I would say, yeah. That's the Mongolian Grill. They call it the Dragon Grill. I'll give a quick rundown, Che.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You walk in. You say, hey, I want the Dragon Grill. The waiter takes out a wooden stick. With a little circle on the top of it, and he writes a number and a letter, and that's to know that what seat you're sitting at in the restaurant so they can bring your dish to you after you...
Later, yeah.
Later. So then you take your stick, you walk up, you grab a bowl. First thing you do is you choose between, you know, white or brown rice, and then they have three different types of noodles. Rice noodles, egg noodles, big flat noodles, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
You fill your bowl up with that. Then you move down the buffet, Chase. There's 28 different vegetables. Everything you can think of. There's a couple little things of fruit, like pineapple, if you want to go like sweet and sour chicken and put pineapple in it.
Right.
They have eggs that you can crack into it. They have the thing I would recommend that I never would think would be good in Chinese food. They have thinly sliced fried potatoes that mm-hmm. you can put in there. So you're assembling your bowl of ingredients. After you hit all the veggies, then you move on. There's 18 different sauces. That's black pepper sauce, garlic sauce, Szechuan sauce, hoisin sauce, you name it.
All sriracha, sorts of sauces.
Garlic chili, all that stuff. You load it up. Then you get to the very end where the cook is, and there's a big counter. And you put your bowl up there, and then on top of the counter, there's a bunch of cups with different colored plastic sticks in them. Each color represents a different meat. You can get shrimp, scallops, beef, chicken, pork, tofu. You can
whatever
do more
you
than
want.
One meat. You can do chicken and pork. You can do chicken and shrimp. You put those in. You add a little sesame seeds. Crack some fresh black pepper on there.
Also fresh white pepper.
Love it. Put it on top. He cooks it. You go sit down at this point, and then your waiter knows what number you are. You have your stick in the bowl. And they bring it out to you. It's a big, beautiful bowl of Chinese food. And then when you finish it, you get to go back up there. It's unlimited. You could try a completely different dish. If you went salty the first time, maybe you go sweet the second time. I don't know, Chase. We're not
limited
here.
I'm no mathematician, but you said 28 different vegetables, 18 different sauces.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least 100 different combinations of food you could have.
Let's not overpromise. It might not.
No, but let me just give you my quick rundown on what I do.
Please.
I go with the celery.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get the thin noodles to start off.
So good.
Thin nudes. I like my nudes
thin. Thin nudies.
And then I get some veggies. I mean, celery, whatever. I just get some good veggies.
Keep the system moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to the sauces. I always do the egg. Put the egg in there because it's super good. I do one scoop of black pepper, one scoop of Charlie Chow's sauce. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but
I do the same thing. They have a house sauce.
Yeah, house sauce.
So good.
And then I do chicken and shrimp.
Nice.
Sesame seeds, black and white pepper, because I'm not racist. Get out of here. And then and what's funny is I eat it, and then I go back for my second round, and I go, I'm just doing the same thing over, because it's that good.
So, it's beautiful. We love it. Our whole family loves it now. We've taken them there. Mm-hmm. When we'll do family stuff downtown, it's like, hey, let's do Charlie Chow's. It's not terribly expensive. It's like $15 for the unlimited Dragon Grill.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, one other little, I like to have a little life hack, excuse me, from some of these restaurants. There used to be an American fellow that was one of the waiters there. It's authentic. A lot of, not a lot of the waiters and waitresses speak English, but there was one American dude there, and he, back in the day, you could slip him $3 and he would bring you a to-go box, which you're not supposed to do. So you could go up and make another home meal and say, hey, $3 for the to-go box. And he would hand you a to-go box and you could load up a whole nother meal to take with you. So $15 unlimited, two or three plates, an extra $3 gets you the plate
to go,
which is beautiful. Now, another thing, when the check comes,
excuse me,
they bring out the fortune cookies. Now, their fortune cookies have been halfway dipped in chocolate and thrown in the freezer or the refrigerator. I'm not sure. They come out cold and and they're halfway dipped in chocolate, Chase.
Super good. Best way to do it.
Why would you ever eat a regular fortune cookie again after that?
That's super waxy and gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, they're the best. Chocolate
dipped fortune cookies. So that's all I got. I love Charlie Chow's.
Yeah, it's a great place. I would definitely hit it up if you're looking for a place to go downtown, if you've never tried it. It's small. And I will say real quick, another little hack. Parking's not easy, but I recommend you park behind it and then you actually walk through the back door, which is kind of weird because it's right on 4th South. So there's not really anywhere to park.
Love going through the back door.
Yeah. It's okay. Well, let's get wrapped up then. Unless you have anything else you want to add?
That was it. I've said it all.
Okay,
sweet. There's nothing more to say.
Well, next week, we will be back down at Salt City Sports South. Should have a guest on next week. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
And if you haven't subscribed on iTunes, we would love if you would. Give us a 5-star review. Anything else, you can shove it up your butt. Nice. And then we are on SoundCloud as well. You can subscribe, or I guess the word there is follow us. And if you're not following us on Twitter, that's where we interact with our fans. It's at Salt City Podcast. I'm your host, Chase, at Chase_A_Soros. New Abby for me. It's Kirill Fasinko back in the Euro Leagues. Put some pounds on.
Yeah, he's been eating good.
He's been eating real good. Love and then that Abby, Clay is at PotatoSack7. And I think, what is your Abby right now? I have like this mental note of what people's Abbies
it's
are.
It's Russ Cole.
That's right. Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought it was Russ Cole, but I want to make sure it wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis.
One of the best pieces of television we've been gifted in the last decade, True Detective Season 1. Little shout out for that.
I introduced him to it, so it's okay. That's it for me. That's it for Clay. Appreciate you guys listening. We will see you next week, and as always, we appreciate you guys. Have a good one.